Welcome to Truth Quest with Melody on KHENLP 106.9 Salida, Colorado. And I want to mention that all the programs are archived at www.gimmesometruth.info. And sometimes I'm a little slow at getting them up, but they do get up there. And so there's a number, about 4 or 5 years now, that I've been doing this program. So there's quite a few archives up there and a lot of different guests you can listen to on a lot of different subjects. And this evening I've got four ladies from that are very much involved in the Sawatch recall election and who've been kind of taking the state to task on a number of things on voting. But I do want to also mention that the views expressed on this program are those of myself and of my guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. And I believe we're also having a membership drive coming up here. If it isn't starting today, it's going to be very, very soon. I guess it's starting tomorrow. So people, get ready to start becoming members again of KHEN to help support your community radio station. Now, do I have my callers on the line? Marilyn, Lisa, Teresa Benz, and Mary Eberly. Do I have everybody? It doesn't sound like I'm getting them. Uh-oh. Something must be going on. So I guess we'll have to have you bear with me a moment, and I'll play a song on the radio here and while I try to get this straightened out. So we'll go ahead and see what's going on. Do I have my people on now? Do you hear me? Nope.
Right here.
There. I know what it is. The buttons. Okay. Okay. I think I have to get something. There we go. I think we've got it now. There's a little button that sometimes I have to pay attention to. So do I have everybody now?
Hi, Melody.
Hi.
Hi.
So we've got Marilyn and Lisa, and do we have Mary and Teresa?
We've got Teresa.
Okay.
We don't have Mary yet. We're still looking.
Okay. All right. Well, so I guess I need to just keep trying her as we go along, or how do we? Let's see. Maybe she can. One of you guys connect to her? Possibly?
I've got a note into her, Melody, and okay. So I'll.
All right. Okay.
I've been trying, and I can't reach her.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and just jump right into this. And again, I want to welcome the audience to. We've been kind of following the subject since the election of last year.
The machine will now hang up.
Okay. Well, I'm going to close that there. All right. Try this if that works. Okay, so so we've been following the subject since last year on voting issues for Sawatch County, and so who wants to take a stab at the first part of this and kind of get the audience up to speed on what you ladies have been up to?
Oh, I nominate Lisa to do that. Lisa was on the canvas board, and she's got a sense of it from the beginning to the end.
Well, I mean, at this point, you know, it's so much larger than Sawatch County, even though I think we were kind of like the canary in the coal mine.
Right.
You know, we were able to identify several irregularities in the 2010 election. We've done our best to try to get the state engaged, whether it was the Secretary of State or the State Attorney General's office. And, you know, everybody's been sort of casual about the things that we identified as far as the irregularities and how important they were, but I think it's actually you know, getting to the point where they're beginning to realize the larger ramifications as 2012 is looming on the horizon.
Okay, Lisa, I'm going to mention that it's possible. I hope you don't have too many screens opening because your connection seems to be a little iffy here. So, go ahead.
This is the only thing that I have open.
Okay, so maybe not that, but I thought I would take a stab at it.
It may be the link itself. There's a little bit of an echo.
Right, right. And, I mean, we do have, I can also, you know, connect you again with on your number too, if that ends up being a problem. So, okay, go ahead and continue.
Well, I think, you know, as part of it, you know, working with people around the state who are starting to also see, hopefully Mary could join us. She was here. We had a review with the Secretary of State who identified a lot of procedural problems, which could contribute to at least raising the question of how valid the election was in 2012, if not actually identifying the problem.
Okay, I'm going to mention one other thing here. I'm hearing music in the background and some kind of clicking, so just it's coming through on the audio here. So, all right, go ahead.
And so, you know, I think that's become maybe the impetus for continuing to force these issues. Marilyn has been really helpful in that she filed open records requests. She's actually been successful in documenting that voted ballots are indeed open records. And, you know, it's had quite a bit of success, but it's something, it comes back to the larger issues of whether or not elections, the public's able to verify how they vote and how the elections are counted.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I think if Marilyn wants to give us an update of how she's been moving around the state trying to, you know, work with the Clerks Association and the Secretary of State to force that issue of open records and make that possible for anybody to be able to go in and verify, not just people who have the money to go to court.
Okay, well, I also want to bring up the fact that what you guys have kind of uncovered in your county is kind of prevalent, not only just in the state, but around the country. And, you know, I've been following this since pretty much when Bev Harris started with her black box voting. And ultimately, what I'm seeing is, I mean, this is going into the 11th or 12th year since then, and we're still dealing with some of the same issues. And people still aren't getting it that if we don't have elections that follow through properly, how do we expect anywhere up and beyond that in our system to work properly? And that's just my two cents there.
Well, Melody, this is Marilyn.
Go ahead,
Lisa.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I think that is absolutely the key point, that if we can't verify our elections, if we don't follow certain principles and certain rules, you know, it really comes down to, do we trust the people who are running the elections? And most people would answer that no.
And it isn't just the people, it's also the system that's involved, too, because not only did we have a system that already had some irregularities, you know, over the years, but then we threw in the computer and then we really kind of amplified everything exorbitantly. So, Marilyn?
Well, and that's certainly what I've been learning the last two or three years, Melody, and that is the complexities of the computer systems. Most of them are old technology to begin with. They're extremely complex. Then we add to that a very short or very small budgets and elections that are run only once a year. And you've really got an intersection that can call for a disaster. And we do see some disasters in elections. Some of them, as we know, maybe have some mischief involved, and others are just pure human error. As we get off of Colorado for a moment, and we'll come back to Colorado, if anybody's been watching what's been going on in South Carolina, where citizens, after the election had been completely audited and certified, citizens went in and started doing Freedom of Information Act requests on the touchscreen machines and have now discovered that there were thousands and thousands of votes across the state miscounted and not counted. Their state is now beginning to look at completely overhauling the election system. But had it not been for the citizens who went in and said, wait a minute, we just want to see if this is working right, no one would even know there was a problem, which goes back to your question about, okay, things have been surfacing for years, but nobody's done much about them. I think that more and more attention is being brought to bear. People are learning how to use Sunshine Laws, Freedom of Information Act, to begin to take action, and that is where we see huge progress made in the last 2 months in Colorado. First in Sawatch, the citizens like Lisa, the press like Teresa Benz, pushed and pushed and pushed on the Secretary of State and on the process there until there was a lawsuit that opened up for that election and others, the fact that citizens could go in and verify. And then about a month later, September 29th, we got a long-awaited unanimous Court of Appeals decision that ballots are indeed open records, and any citizen, any member of the press, can go in and verify elections. So now, if we have problems, we can only blame ourselves, the citizens. Because.
Okay, did we lose you? Oh boy, I have a feeling we're going to have to do this via another phone.
Now we have the opportunity to verify. I hope not. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, but it's coming fading
Hello?
In and out, and I may have to try calling.
Okay.
Calling back on another connection again. We'll try
it
a little bit here and see if it goes any better, and if not, then I'll reconnect.
Okay, well, maybe you can let Teresa take over.
Okay, all right.
Because I think I was just wrapping up to say we're at a great point now that we've had some great victories in the courts.
Okay, Teresa?
Right, and I think it just basically, is kind of a thing where we have to proceed now and use those victories to go forward and go to where we need it to go.
Okay.
And I think that, the more people that do that, especially private citizens, people have to become more, they have to become better informed about their rights and their duties as citizens and go out and do this if they want to, keep those rights and if they want to have fair elections, honest elections, people have to, there has to be a general awakening, and I've seen it happening slowly but surely. And I think so much of it was because nobody was talking about this.
Well,
nobody was understanding it.
One of the questions that has come up to me, and it's just maybe it's just me, but what I'm kind of seeing is the possibility that this some of these irregularities may be kind of allowed to happen. Oops. Okay, I think I'm going to have to stop and redo this call over, so we'll go ahead and put music on and dial them back. Okay.
Do you want me to hang up then?
Yeah, you hang up and I'll dial you guys back.
Okay, bye.
Okay, then we'll try this again. I'm going to play another.
Your show now, so what's it gonna be? 'Cause people will tune in. How many train wrecks do we need to see before we lose touch? Oh, and we thought this was low. Well, it's bad, getting worse. Where'd all the good people go? I've been changing channels, I don't see them on the TV show. Where'd all the good people go? We got heaps and heaps of what we saw. They got this and that.
with a rattle-a-tat test. And one, two, man, what you gonna do? Bad news, missed news, got too much to lose. Give me some truth now, whose side are we on? Whatever you say, turn on the boob tube. I'm in the mood to obey, so lead me astray. And by the way now, where are the good people go?
Hey, Melody.
Hello.
Okay. Hi, yeah. You have Marilyn.
I think we got Mary, too. Now we're still waiting for Teresa to come in. Okay.
Did you get all of Mary?
Yeah, Mary's on.
Hello.
I'm
on.
Okay,
hi,
we
Mary.
Got everybody now.
Hi.
Okay, great. So we'll go back to where we were here. And was it Teresa that you were you talking when we...
Yes, okay. I was just talking how I was really hoping that, you know, now that we have these laws fleshed out, so to speak, and the judge in our county has said that, you know, ballots are public records, and the appellate court has said that ballots are public records and can be examined by the press and the public. Now that we have these laws, people have to learn to implement them and learn how important it is for them if they, you know, if there's ever a question about an election or any problems arise, to do that and to insist that they have, you know, the right to do that and participate actively in doing that.
I guess we're, and I, what was happening is I was asked, fixing to ask a question, and I may be off base on this, I don't know, but sometimes when I started asking some of the questions with various partisan groups, I was kind of surprised that I didn't see any real desire on parts of these people to want to correct problems that even they admitted were a problem. So I didn't know where to go with that. All I was trying to do was raise questions.
Melody, I have a thought on that from a couple of recent conversations with some party leaders. And what I am hearing is that they are very reluctant to jump into this debate because it tends to, as you raise questions, it tends to reduce voter confidence. And reducing voter confidence reduces turnout. And so I think that there is a very natural hesitation for them to want to take on, for the traditional parties to want to take on this issue, even when they feel that it would benefit them to actually correct things. So I don't think we can expect to see much leadership coming from the traditional parties.
Okay. And we've got Mary Eberle, I believe, has joined us. Are you there, Mary?
I am. I apologize for not being here earlier.
Well, that's certainly fine that you've now you're with us. So,
I am.
Marilyn, would you like to introduce Mary?
Oh, yes. Mary Eberle is quite a Colorado activist, has been for a long time. She is the former president of Coloradans for Voting Integrity, and she is one of the most...
It is, I am not understanding.
...active members spending, I've been watching her, she's spending about 15 hours a day on this stuff now.
Okay.
Okay, Mary, maybe you'll introduce yourself if you can't hear me.
Well, thank you, Marilyn. I have had an interest in this subject ever since the Florida 2000 election that was having to be reviewed and went before the Supreme Court and caused so much distress. And then when Boulder County, where I live, was going to have, I can hear an echo. Can everybody else hear an echo?
No, I don't hear it. I don't hear it on my end, but
okay, not. I'll just keep going. Then I'm sorry.
Okay,
it was coming through to me. Anyway, when our county was going to get new voting equipment, and the clerk at the time thought that we should have what are called DREs, electronic machines with no paper. Everybody in Boulder who was sensitive to the necessity of paper, because computers are not very dependable, and we probably, most of us didn't even know about hacking by that word in those days, but we had a suspicion that something bad could happen. So bottom line is we do have paper, and that was sort of what got me started looking at election integrity.
Right and now, Melody, can you hear me now?
Yes,
Melody?
I can hear you.
Mm-hmm. And Mary and her husband devoted basically a full week to go to Sawatch to help with the citizens review. And it was, a fabulous contribution for the citizens of Sawatch because Mary's done this before. So you, as you move towards Sawatch, you might want to get her overview, as you head toward that subject.
Okay. Mary?
Well, my experience with review of elections, is also rooted in Boulder County. We've had several elections go awry because of having problems with our counting system. However, we do have paper, so we've been able to save the day by having human intervention. But it does take a long time, and then everybody is distressed, and there have to be reviews and investigations. So that's how I had some notion of what would be going on in Sawatch when I got down there. The people who were involved from the county were just really wonderful. It didn't matter which party they belonged to or if they were unaffiliated. All the citizens who were actually doing the review, were just so dedicated, and it was kind of long hours, and they worked together even though they were on opposite sides of the fence. I was really impressed with them.
Teresa, I don't know if this is time to kind of bring in a little bit, or do you want to bring this in later about the article that had come around that was put out yesterday? No, today.
Well, I don't think I'll say too much about it. All I can say is, it's been, Mr. McClure and I have gone around for a long time, and there's been some problems there, and I think that's really what started my interest in the problems with elections, was that there were some problems in Center in 2008, and allegations of fraud were made, and this went to trial under Martine Gonzalez, who is now hearing Maryland's case, her core case, and a lot of things brought out that I never knew, and that's what got me interested in all this in the first place. So I think it was a good starting point, and then it kind of just made me much more aware of what could go wrong and how things could go wrong in elections. And so when all these other things came up, it was, kind of just like deja vu, because the same types of things started happening in the 2010 general election in Sawatch that had happened in Center 2 years before. And so it's like, well, it just gave me a background, and I'm glad for that. I'm glad I got that background. If I hadn't gotten it, I might not have even known to reach out to Al Kolwitz, who is the one that helped me get started with all the research I did, and he put me in touch with Marilyn, and so here I am.
We're going to have to bear with this a little bit. I don't know what is going on with the Skype program tonight. I haven't had any problems with it in a while, so it's very interesting to say. So if we do have any more problems, I will try another method, and it may be that I have to call and connect you. Somebody will have to connect on a conference with someone else, and then I can call two of you. And so if one of them's connected, then we can get all four of you on the call. But at this point in time, we're all here, I believe. So with the special district election that's coming up here, is this going to affect that at all, or is it just that any election now is kind of pertinent in that area?
Any election. It wouldn't matter if it's your small city election, your school board election, the coordinated election. This case was about Colorado Open Records Act, similar to Freedom of Information Act. And so what both courts ruled was that anonymous voted ballots are public records. So even if someone has just a very small election, say their hospital or their hospital board, they indeed can go in and verify the election. So this was, you know, really a momentous changing of everything. Will it affect this November's election? I think that it will, in that after this election is over, any of the elections that are close need further review or people just want more information on, they will be able to go back and review the elections. Now, quite frankly, it's going to take our clerks here in Colorado, a little transition period, because they are not happy about this. Their systems are not prepared for it. They are not interested. They do not yet want us coming in at the time of the election to look at records, and that's all going to have to get sorted out over this next year. It will be so important for this time next year in the presidential election that the systems are in place so that activists, campaigns, issue committees can go in very, 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 very soon after the election so that they can still do something about any problem.
Yeah, because one of the things that seemed to come
up, I have to get sorted out.
Okay. One of the things that I found in the last discussion we had, again, was, you know, it's such a long process to go through this review and to get things straightened out after there are problems that are uncovered in an election. So I'm hoping that what you guys have started the ball rolling on will kind of cut to the chase and eliminate a lot of that problem.
It should, Melody, because now there is law that nobody can question. Now we'll have to get used to having citizens have more formalized processes so that when they go in right after an election that, you know, it's an efficient process, and I'm sure that'll take a few years. But no, because we have spent the last couple of 3 years clarifying the law, that part is done now. And now citizens can get to work.
Okay, when you say we, who's we?
Oh, we activists, people like everybody on this phone call. While I started a CORA litigation.
She keeps cutting out.
You're cutting out, Marilyn.
Yeah. I don't understand it.
I just kind of want to jump in and say, you know, I think one of the differences
here in Aspen.
Okay. Marilyn, I think you're cutting out again. And I may have to try to call you on your phone instead of your Skype number. Would that work?
I think that's a good idea, Melody.
Okay. All right. I'll go ahead and hang you up, and then I'll try you on your Skype, your other phone number. I think I have it somewhere. So.
Okay. I'll send it to you on Skype.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Okay.
Do I stay on here, Melody?
Yeah. Everybody stay on. It seems to be her connection that seems to be a problem right now. And so go ahead, Lisa, and I'll.
Well, I think one of the differences here in Sawatch County, what I see with the 2011 election, because we have, you know, school board elections, we have a tax question for the formation of a new fire district, and, you know, they're turning away volunteers at the clerk's office because people have realized they have to be involved. And we have more people in Sawatch County who have a better understanding of what it takes to run an election, what could go wrong in an election, the things that they could volunteer and be part of to watch, you know, just to be a watcher, and the importance of being able to do that and to do it, you know, in a non-confrontational setting. And, you know, it just gives me some encouragement because now we have some things in place, like Marilyn said, you know, that we've created the track record, you know, that we can actually go in and look at these things. They're meant to be part of a public review process. And now people need to step up and do the review, kind of confirm that this is important enough. We're willing to take the time to do it.
Okay.
May I ask Lisa a question? This is Mary.
Okay. Go ahead.
Sure.
Okay. Lisa, hi. I guess most of the voters in Sawatch County will have received their mail ballots by now. Do you think that's right?
Yes, I do.
Have you heard of anybody having a problem of such as not receiving a ballot when they were expecting it?
I haven't. I've had a couple people ask, but I haven't followed up to see if they were actually able to determine that they hadn't received a ballot, or if it was still in process, because they started showing up, I think, in people's mailboxes maybe around Monday of last week.
That's when we got ours.
Yeah, right after the holiday.
Okay.
So, but, you know, that's certainly something, you know, I mean, we're hitting a little, I'm personally hitting a little bit of trouble because I was asked to, by one of the school boards to sit on the canvas board and the county clerk, doesn't, want me to do that.
Mm. Well, unfortunately, that's not an isolated circumstance. County clerks, seem to throw their weight around. I don't know, you know, if there's some way for you to resolve that in a positive way during this round, but, you know, perhaps.
Well, right now the school board attorney is talking to the county attorney. They've roped in the Secretary of State's office, and they've all determined that the school board has the right to appoint who they choose as long as they're eligible. But, you know, the clerk is still refusing to communicate with me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the reasons we're recalling her.
Yes.
So.
Well, one other quick question, I think. Would it be possible for you or somebody in Sawatch County to CORA request every day the list of mail ballots that has been received? And the reason to do that is...
Okay. Go ahead. We were just connecting with Marilyn.
Okay. Thanks, Melody.
Okay.
I recall that in when we were down there in August, the some people had felt that their ballots were turned in before the 7 o'clock deadline on election day, and yet they were told that their ballot came in late and it was not counted. And so, in order to circumvent that, if there's a record of the ballots that are received each day at the clerk's office, that would be a useful thing to have down the road.
Yeah, I think it would be. And we actually are supposed to be able to observe the public testing of the machine that they're going to be using to count the ballots. So I think tomorrow might be a good time to bring it up because people from the Secretary of State's office will be there. And it is part of the clerk's mail ballot plan that she will keep track of those records. So.
Good.
We just have to make sure we get copies of them in a timely fashion.
Well, my question is here, she has not made it clear whether or not she's going to answer CORA requests yet during the election period. I've never gotten a real response from her on that.
Oh, I did, Teresa. We did have that crazy policy turned around.
I've received information from her by a CORA request. So,
well, I did too, but she still never clarified whether during the election period we could ask for it. So I'm glad to hear Marilyn say that. I didn't know if she'd reversed it or not. So,
well, I don't think she did it in too much of a formal way, but I think that my assumption is that the county attorney told her that what she was trying to do was illegal and that she couldn't make rules that jumped over the statute of the state law.
Well, that's nice.
were you able to tell Melody about some of the concerns, Lisa, that you and Teresa have for this upcoming election and the citizen oversight piece and the machine that's being used, et cetera?
Well, we haven't got too much into the machine. I kind of feel that's your purview because you're the one who's done the most amount of research and you're still hoping to be able to depose the manufacturer. So I think we should talk about the machine a little bit and give people some
idea. Yeah, I haven't been able to stay quite up to date, but Melody, what we're speaking of is there is a very expensive, very low quality, very vulnerable machine that was used in the last election, the EFMS M650. And one is expected to be used in this election, and I believe that Lisa and Teresa will be seeing it tested on Thursday.
Tomorrow.
The reason we are...
It's on Wednesday. Okay.
Oh, it's tomorrow. Okay. And the reason we're curious about that is because this particular machine is not allowed to be used on a standalone basis as a certified election system. But for some strange reason, the Secretary of State is allowing it to be used, although it does not meet the qualifications. It's one of the reasons we had so many problems in this last election. Why they're using it again, particularly because since it violates the rules, we don't know. So Lisa and Teresa, tomorrow I'll be really interested in the reports that you have on watching that machine. Lisa, were you able to clarify your role as a Canvas board member?
No, I haven't been able to do that. But when I talked to the county attorney and told him I was planning on attending at 1 to view the public testing of the machine, he requested that I fill out the paperwork to be a watcher. And I said, well, I don't think I need to do that because I'm a member of the public. So obviously there's quite a bit of work still that needs to be done.
Right. Well, judging from what we saw today at the commissioner's meeting with some of the things Ben was saying, he still doesn't understand. So
in other words, are we expecting more questions coming out of this small election this month? Although we're supposed to be having the Secretary of State and all sorts of other improvements happening, or their supervision, all sorts of other improvements happening for this election. Sounds like there's still a lot of uncertainty.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think part of it is, you know, it's just the actual resistance being encountered by people from the county clerk herself.
Okay,
you know, it's her character and her personality. You know, because like in my instance, you know, the Secretary of State's office, the school board attorney, Ben Gibbons, the county attorney, have all agreed that according to the statutes, according to the IGA, according to everything, the school board should be able to appoint whoever they want as long as they're eligible.
Okay,
and it's the county clerk who's refusing to cooperate.
Let me go ahead and
you're talking about appoint as a Canvas board member. And the clerk is refusing to seat you as a Canvas board member, although she has absolutely no authority to refuse to seat you.
Well, she's just refusing to communicate with me. So she's basically interfering with my ability to serve as an effective Canvas board member, and it's to the detriment of the school board because then they're not going to get representation.
Okay, let me go ahead and just say that we've got Lisa Syriax, Marilyn Marks, Mary Eberly, and Teresa Benz from Swatch and Aspen. And I'm not quite sure where you're from.
Boulder.
Boulder, okay. And we're all discussing the Swatch recall election and various aspects around that. So just for the audience to be able to follow what we're talking about. And one of the questions I want to bring up is, again, this has got to be kind of a these sort of things are going on around not only in other counties around the state, even though we know they're happening, but they're not necessarily being brought forward. And then this is also happening around the country, but with what the work you guys, ladies, are doing, do you think that it's going to make a difference in not only this state, but maybe some other states as well?
Well, I certainly hope so, because this has been making a lot of news, and some of Teresa's articles, Denver Post articles, Aspen articles have been showing up in several of the national and international voting news magazine or newsletters. And so the election law blog newsletters, that sort of thing. So I think that states that don't have the same level of transparency that we have now will say, now, wait a minute, what's going on there that we can't have? And because that's the way we got our transparency. We insisted that we in Colorado be equal with other states that did have this level of transparency. So, yes, it takes a while, and it takes fighting the system. But certainly I know it will have a spillover effect.
Well, do you know of any states that are that seem to be kind of breaking through these problems? Or
well, in addition to Colorado, of course, this has been long since the law in Florida, Minnesota, Michigan, Connecticut. There's a long list of states that were far out ahead of us, where citizens now have very good systems for going in and doing citizens audits. It's just going to take Colorado a little while to get there. I think one of a really great, interesting test case, and Mary, I hope that your organization will get involved in this, when there is the Sawatch County recall election, which we hope what will be maybe in early December or early January, Lisa?
Yes.
So when that happens, I think that having people come in, because it's going to be such a contentious election, I think having people come in from other counties and put together a citizens review of that election as it is happening and just after will be a great exercise. It will be a great learning experience for them, the presidential election in 2010.
Well, that sounds
like 2012 is what I meant to say, living in the past.
That sounds like a good task. Marilyn, you might want to mention the South Carolina League of Women Voters and what they found out as just citizen activists and what they've announced recently.
Yes, and I think I covered that a little bit before you were on the phone.
Oh, okay.
But yes, I think we're seeing citizens all over the country do this, and you know, we should take those very special opportunities like this election in Sawatch to do it. And I have to believe, Lisa and Teresa, that you all would probably welcome having people from around the state come in and help review this election. You might want to talk about why it is of such interest and why it's so contentious.
You mean the recall election itself?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, you know, part of it is because of the whole nature of how this got started and, you know, the fact that the citizens kind of got up in arms, you know, within a few months after the election because they felt like they got no satisfaction from the state officials who were supposedly providing some sort of oversight. And I think part of the process identified the fact that maybe the Secretary of State's office needs some pretty major overhauls so that they can clarify their role and their authority to intervene, you know, and I realize it's a touchy subject because clerks are elected. And so technically they should be, I guess, removed by the people who elect them, which is sort of the process we began this recall election. But, you know, we've hit one obstacle after another because, you know, it's a small county. We live in small communities. People know each other. You know, there's a historic pattern of dysfunction within the county government, you know, and you've got these groups of people and cliques, you know, the parties themselves, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, the people who are county employees, people are related, you know, there's a huge amount of nepotism that goes on. And, you know, like today, you know, we went through a little bit of a contentious bit at the Board of County Commissioners with Bill McClure that Teresa was talking about. You know, and it's all just related to this historic patterns or historic relationships. And so sometimes having outsiders come in and, you know, view it over, I think part of what's happening is people are looking around and there's, you know, instead of saying, well, this is just the way it is, or this is the way things are already always done, they're realizing because outsiders have come in and they've looked at it, saying, you know, maybe things could be different. Maybe this isn't the right way to do this. Maybe we should be asking more questions. Maybe we should be more involved. And it's kind of just empowering the citizenship. So, you know, I think that's the role of outside people coming in. You know, and it can also help kind of diffuse a situation that otherwise might become even more volatile. Teresa, do you have anything to add?
You know, I think I really worry about, you know, what will happen if we don't move forward and continue with this. Because what I've seen in the past and what I still see to some degree, although there's been a huge, you know, shift here because of the ability to be able to review the ballots like we did in August and whatnot. But still, they're just, I don't think people are making the connection between what, you know, why this happened and what happened, and the fact that if they don't involve themselves, that it undermines the entire edifice of democracy. So, and I don't even know that I want to say democracy, but of, the constitutionality of this whole thing. I mean, if we, either we are what we say we are and what we believe we are, or we're not. And if we, if we are, then we need to fight now while we can correct some things and see some satisfaction and put some changes into effect. Or I'm afraid down the road that we, you know, it may reach a point where we're not able to do that.
Yeah, because if you don't break through whatever's going on here, what will happen historically down the road is someone will say, well, they tried to do that in the past and it didn't go anywhere, so maybe we shouldn't try again. You know, it starts becoming a pattern.
Melody,
I think
go ahead, Lisa.
Well, I was going to say, and I think that's definitely the case, because, you know, I think that's part of what's happening. The fact that we got, you know, 824 people to sign a petition to recall the county clerk on a countywide issue. And while that doesn't sound like a lot, you know, it's really ultimately 25% of the active voters in Sawatch County, which is a pretty significant portion. And, you know, the people who are the clerk's supporters are the people who've been supporters of this dysfunctional system or the recipients of the benefits of this dysfunctional. They don't quite know what to do. I mean, they kept saying, oh, they'll never pull it off. They'll never be able to do it. You know, and now they're like looking at this petition and they're trying to find how we did it wrong or where we didn't follow the rules or we didn't do it right. You know, and they're just really kind of, I think, in a little bit of disarray, because we did actually manage to pull it off. But I think, you know, the other side of it is if we back off, or if we don't continue to make the stand, or if people allow themselves to be intimidated, then we will fall back in the situation you just described, Melody.
And one of the other aspect of it is, okay, so with the court cases and the things that you have gained, are you not getting resistance from the state in wanting to reverse some of these decisions, or should I?
Well, and it's I think where we're seeing some resistance is from the clerks. But I guess I'd like to rewind for just a minute to say, while in Sawatch, they threw a big rock into the lake, and it is making ripples everywhere. The mere fact that they've gotten this far with this recall election has a lot of clerks paying a whole lot more attention to the details now. Because I don't know when the last time was a clerk was recalled, but every clerk in the state knows all about Sawatch. Then the next big rock that got thrown in that lake was when the citizens went in and reviewed their own election. Now, we haven't finished all of that work yet. We don't have to be in a big hurry about it. We were able to scan a copy of every ballot, and we're still recounting those ballots. That has also sent ripples through the lake. And Sawatch would have never really been the epicenter of Colorado for governance issues, but they have been. And then now we're seeing it in Aspen, and the rock here has gone – has sent ripples everywhere. The clerks are not used to this. They're resisting it. They are talking about trying to change the law. I think they're going to have a very difficult time changing the law, because citizens will soon see the benefit and will not allow us to go from sunshine to darkness. It's easier to take citizens and legislatures from darkness to sunshine, but after you have a little sunshine, it's really hard to go back. We're going to expect a lot of resistance. And Melody, I think we're going to be calling on you in the next year, maybe the next few months, when the legislature is in session, to be asking your listeners to resist any attempts to reverse all of this progress.
Well, I hope I'm not the only one in the media out there trying to, at least in this area. I know that there's been quite a bit of the front range coverage on this issue. I don't know about in my area so much, but I sure hope that we can get a little more interest in this so that there is support, because you know, as little time as I've spent, even though it's more significant than I'm sure many people have spent on their own, you just the more you dig into it, the more you realize there's some issues here that are basic, and it just drives me crazy to hear all these guys talking about, you know, the presidential elections, knowing that there's problems down at the very base and foundation of this, and to expect the presidential elections to be what we would like them to be, then they've got to be working correctly on a local level, because that's all elections are, is local elections.
And we are the ones responsible.
Right.
They are our elections, and we've for too long let the government run them, and it's now time for us to run them. We will tell the government who got reelected or elected. They don't need to be telling us. But Melody, mentioning your area, I should update you very quickly that your clerk there in Chaffee County has mounted a massive resistance to just the simplest of open record requests for a single ballot. And they are going to be going to court, they informed me, to try to fight my access, our access as members of the public, to the voted ballots, even though we have a very clear ruling from the Court of Appeals. Part of what they're trying to claim is that there's injury to the public by us seeing this. They're also trying to claim that it's busy time for election and they can't look at one ballot. Oh, they have a lot of completely obstructionist claims. There is no court date scheduled yet, but as that time approaches, I'll inform you, because you may want to come to that hearing.
Okay. Now, are you just taking certain counties to task on this, or are you going to try to, you know, get this more counties involved? What is your intent behind
You know, if I had unlimited resources, it would be every county all the time, but I don't. And I just happened to choose Chaffee because I was going to be going to Sawatch, and I would be going there through Salida, and decided I would just ask for a small sample of ballots, and ended up getting resistance. But in the process of my looking at Chaffee County, their results that were published on the Internet from last November's election turned out to be very interesting, because what they had done is they showed their spreadsheet that it showed that in some places, in some of the vote centers, some of the precincts, they only had one voter, which meant that anybody, even without looking at the ballots, without forgetting looking at the ballots, could go figure out how that voter voted. So what has been happening, and this is why we're getting some resistance from the clerks, they have been recording data down at a very tiny level, very small sample level, to the results in some cases, and I'm sure it's accidental, but it results in some cases that they can trace how a voter voted. Obviously, that's unconstitutional. This is going to require an overhaul in some of the court systems, and no doubt they're troubled about what that's going to look like in the next few months as they try to prepare for the primaries and the presidential elections.
Well, that's got to happen in other counties in the state, particularly the smaller, you know, populous counties, right?
Well, you know, it's not necessarily limited to smaller ones. The smaller ones are probably easier. It's all these special districts that will tend to overlap with each other, and you could end up with slivers of land with just a few people in them, and therefore, if you don't have full voter turnout, you could find how someone voted. It's not intentional, but again, it's because we have so many special districts, so many methods of voting, early mail, vote center, and then polling place election day. So when you slice and dice the data that way, you can, in some cases, limited cases, trace a ballot.
Okay.
The clerks want to take the position that it's okay to do that so long as they keep it secret. It's okay if Big Brother knows how we vote, just that Big Brother we're supposed to trust. And those of us activists, and maybe Mary wants to speak to this, have been resisting this very much and saying, no, it is not okay for Big Brother to ever record that information or know it.
It shouldn't be available because, well, for one reason, the Constitution of the state of Colorado indicates that ballots may not be marked in any way that identifies the voter of the ballot. And, in fact, when we looked at all the ballots from Swatch, we didn't find any that were identified to the particular voter. That was good. But then if the clerks have software that allows them to drill down to these very small groups, and actually that's even been in some cases required by the way the state has the clerks do reporting, then a person's vote can be identified, and that's just not right.
Well, what about these barcodes? What is that all about then? Is that just totally taken away from the factor down? I mean, is it removed somehow in the process, or can that be traced to the ballot itself?
Well, are you speaking from a county that has a heart system?
Probably. Or I've seen them. I've seen them. I'm not an expert on this. I'm just
Well, in Boulder County, we have a heart system, and we do have the barcodes, and we've been trying to get rid of them since we got them. A better approach than having them right on the ballot is to have them on a stub that's removed, separated from the ballot at the time the voter casts the ballot, or at the time the clerk's staff separates the ballot. The ballot is in the security sleeve, and once the signature is verified on the outside envelope and the security sleeve with the ballot is removed from the outside envelope, then that stub can be taken off without anybody seeing the ballot itself. So now we have a separation between the barcode and the ballot, and that works pretty well. On Boulder County's ballots, there is no stub. The barcode is right on the ballot. And by the way, there is a barcode usually on a ballot that tells what precinct and what ballot style that ballot represents. And that's so the machine can count it properly. But what the barcode we're worried about is the one that's a sequential number. So each ballot has a unique number in a stack. In Boulder County, in precincts, when we give out ballots as election judges on election day, we are instructed to take random ballots out of the pile, not just hand them out one right after the next, and that randomizes the ballot number.
Oh, that's a great idea, Mary. I haven't heard of doing that. That's great.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Okay, let me go ahead and say this is KHENLP 106.9 Salida, and we're talking to Lisa Syriax, Mary Eberle, Teresa Benz, and Marilyn Marks, and we've been discussing the Sawatch County election recall and various aspects around the election process, and hopefully the audience understands that Sawatch is just microcosm, the macrocosm, that there's a lot to be paying attention to and learning from this process, because we don't know down the road that we may be going through this or could go through this, some aspects of looking at our own elections, right?
Right. Melody, I wanted to bring up a subject that sort of ties together what you said, Mary said, and Lisa and Teresa are dealing with now in Swatch, and that is voter intimidation. When you ask about are those barcodes traceable, that is a really excellent question, and the average person is not going to know a traceable barcode from one that's not traceable. And what is happening when you hear the clerks and other election officials say, hey, look, this is secret, it's our secret, only we can look. That is a not-so-subtle message that says to the voter, we might know how you vote. One of the beauties of total transparency, when you can put every ballot out on the lawn, then your voters understand that it doesn't matter what the big boss does. It doesn't matter what the clerk says. No one can know how they vote. It's not traceable. And it will bring out more voters to the polls, and people will feel that they can vote more honestly. But I think that over in Swatch, Teresa and Lisa are seeing numbers of examples of people in power, people with access to the ballots, suggesting to others that they have, that they know how they vote, even when they do not. And the whole notion of voter intimidation is just such an evil thing, so undemocratic. But it's a relevant issue over there right now.
Well, now, didn't you guys just go through a recount? Or did they re-examine the ballots? What was it that took place before you guys ended up just going for a recall? What was uncovered?
Oh, we had already, this is Lisa, we had already started the recall process. But, you know, last spring, we had asked the Secretary of State's office to allow us to do a review, to come in and examine the ballots. And that's what precipitated him filing a lawsuit against the clerk, because she said that ballots were secret and that even the Secretary of State would not be allowed to look at them, which is how we ended up in court over that issue, which was decided in July or early August, with our district judge here in Sawatch County determining that voted ballots are part of the open records according to the Colorado statutes. And so in September, he scheduled the review, which is what Mary and her husband came down and spent the whole week working with volunteers from Sawatch County to look at these different parts and processes. And, you know, it's a pretty summary report. We weren't allowed to look at everything, you know, like, for example, even though it says that mail ballots are to be counted by precincts, they wouldn't allow us to separate them out and count them that way. We had to count them all as in their entirety. That's where they did identify number of procedural problems, and a lot of it had to do with the fact that there was no chain of custody they could document. You know, for example, you know, they couldn't track the seal logs and make sure that the ballots had been actually protected and preserved. So while our county clerk was making the case that they were to be secret, she didn't apparently think they were important enough to protect.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
I was just going to say, Lisa's right, that the citizens were restricted, but it was really because of the audit program of the Secretary of State. At any point in time when they've got the time and energy to do it, any of the citizens can go back and then work on those ballots again. And, in fact, we have scans of them. So they can go back and do it on their own now, particularly after the Aspen ruling from the Court of Appeals. And so the good news is, even if the Secretary of State restricted it, now the clerk cannot restrict further work.
Now, when you're talking about these special districts, is the process much different for any of them?
The problem, Melody, is not a process problem. It's just that when you get your ballot and it's got on there your fire district, your school district, your sewer district, all of those things, your ballot and the person who lives 10 doors down from you may be slightly different because there may be a district line that goes through. We're talking about coordinated elections where all of the races are on the same ballot. That's what causes the problem.
Well, you know,
and there is a law. And so it's not that the special district's having a separate election. It's when there's a coordinated election. And that ultimately leads to a place that there are a lot of almost customized ballots.
Well, what
I... more customization. Excuse me, go ahead.
Just with my experience of dealing with IRS computer programs, I can't imagine that it's much different with the voting software, where there's rooms for all kinds of errors, because there's no way they can figure out all the caveats of the, you know, that could turn out on this type of thing. What do you think?
Mary would be a good one to answer that. She has quite a technical background.
Well, I am in favor personally of hand-counted paper ballots because I so do not trust the black box aspect of computers, though I use computers every day. We had a funny thing happen in Boulder County's election last year. The wording of one of our city questions on the ballot was correct on the paper ballots, but on the electronic voting machine ballot, the wording was incorrect. It was wording from actually a different issue. And 300 and some people voted on the voting machine before this problem was caught. And, of course, they couldn't be brought back to re-vote. It was just sort of a weird situation. And the issue passed by enough votes that the 300 and some people's votes would not have mattered. But still, they're just so many. The voting process is so complex that even without the question of improperly working software, it's very hard to get it to come out right every time.
Right, and then you just threw in something that could really mess with the whole thing. And that's why there's just no way that when you make the kind of changes that take place on an election each year or each time, that a computer with all the glitches that can come up, I just can't imagine that it's got to be more of a nightmare. I would never want to work for like TurboTax or something like that, where these guys have to work through these programs like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used to work for a professor at the university who always said, well, it's a good thing we don't have a really critical job like brain surgery, because it's just, you know, no matter what you do, it's so easy to make a mistake. You don't want to do it when it's really important. Well, elections are in that category.
Mentioned
hand counting, and the listeners might want to look up on the internet a woman named Sheila Park. She has done a lot of research on hand counting in the New England states, and she has some very interesting papers and I think a video on her website.
And by the way, the upcoming the upcoming election, not this one, but the recall election in Swatch, is going to be a hand counted election on paper ballots. Unless something has changed, Lisa or Teresa, has that changed?
Well, I thought
not to my knowledge.
Yeah, because I thought were talking about a different computer that you didn't like.
Well, that's the current election that'll be happening tomorrow and be happening next in a couple of weeks. But no, for the recall election, because it's just a one piece of paper, one question, and it will be run. It can't be run by the clerk. It will be run by the treasurer. And she doesn't have, you know, the training, the access, and everybody's glad. Everybody wanted a hand-counted paper ballot election. And I'm really pleased about that. The other thing that we're going to try to do and to watch, not only have hand-counted ballots, but we're going to try to encourage people not to do mail ballots.
Yeah, and that's really getting...
Show up at polling place.
Okay, and you go into why you don't want mail-in ballots, and that seems to be a real common practice now, and I see problems with that one, too. Go ahead. Anybody?
There's all of us would want to chime in on that. Teresa's been working on that some. You know, I was while we were at redetermining precincts for Sawatch County. And while we were at that today, you know, we were talking about the fact that one of the reasons that they're redrawing the precincts the way that they are is because they are making some precincts really small, and other precincts they're requiring people to travel long, long distances to vote, and they're shutting down some polling places. And what it seems to be geared to is that, you know, it will just make it a perfect justification to do mail-in voting, you know, most of the time.
And therefore, you know, people won't even want to go to the polls. And they claim that the reason that they're doing this is because the ADA laws have become, you know, so that they can't, their polling places aren't ADA, you know, approved and whatnot, and people will come down on them, and, you know, it's just a really big problem. And yet, you know, and this is just an observation, and I'm not saying that it would work, but I think that, you know, most of the schools, and they've got, they're going to have a lot of new schools here in Sawatch County because that several people, you know, have gotten loans to do new schools, but they're usually ADA compliant, and I don't know why they couldn't use the schools as a polling place. I know that the schools would cooperate with them, at least I know Center would. And, you know, so I don't understand why that would be a problem, but, you know, they're really fighting to do this, and they did get to, you know, Clerk Myers to agree to work with, you know, the Republican chairman to try and see if they can't kind of do some, you know, talking and get these precincts sorted out, because the way that they're proposing that they be done would actually, you know, people wouldn't even want to go that far to vote, a lot of them. And some of them, one lady stood up and said she didn't want to do mail-in ballots, that she didn't like mail-in ballots. And so it's going to pose a real problem. And, you know, the last, when we had our election in 2010, you know, one of the problems was the way they were, the way that they did the mail-in ballots, I think there's a really good, you know, chance that they, I know that they weren't, I mean, this is my personal conviction, they weren't all counted. And I know that the way that they did them last time certainly was not procedurally proper and was a very, I mean, it cost, I'm sure that it cost a lot of votes. And it needs to be, you know, this is something that really needs to be gone over well, because if it isn't, it's going to, you know, to be a real problem in 2012 and beyond.
Melody, I think one way that your listeners can understand the concept rather simply is, once that ballot is out of your hands, and it's the mail ballot, the mail system can lose it. When it gets to the clerk's office, if it gets to the clerk's office, you don't know who is going to be handling it. You are not 100% sure that they're not going to look inside and see how you voted. You don't know that they're going to follow the procedures. And you don't know that it's actually going to make it into the ballot box. So my view is the more control you have over that ballot, the better chance it's going to get counted and counted right. So to every extent that you can, take it as close to that voting machine, even if you just drop it in the ballot box in the clerk's office. Better than putting it in the mail.
Well, you don't have much of a chain of custody on your ballot either. And, I mean, because once it leaves you and goes into the mailbox, you don't know where it goes. And
exactly.
And that's, at least if you're at a polling place, you stand a little bit better chance of that. Although the Bev Harris has uncovered, you know, numerous aspects of the chain of custodies after the elections are over and when they get transported to various other counting areas, there can be problems as well. I mean, it isn't like there's just one problem in the election process. There's a lot of things that can crop up, and so there's the oversight for the clerks has got, you know, there's just a tremendous amount for them to keep up on, and in some respect, I almost wonder that it should be just put on one person.
Well, and it's not intended to be. That's why we have citizen canvas boards, citizen judges. But what has happened is that with the computerization of this, more and more power has gotten into the clerk's hands, less power into the citizen's hands. And if the canvas board actually were able to fulfill their duties as probably originally envisioned, this workload is shared, and the oversight is shared and much more diligent. And I think it would be interesting to hear Lisa talk for a moment about the canvas board role and how it fell apart. There should have been a shared responsibility for the 2010 election in Sawatch, and it fell apart because the canvas board was not organized, and their in their work as citizens. And there's a lesson to be learned there.
Lisa?
I mean, you know, kind of what I'm thinking, you know, listening to this, and my thought, you know, I mean, one of the probably more sinister aspects for me is, you know, there's good and bad things about living in a rural community like Sawatch County. And, you know, we've talked about some of the bad things where people know each other and people have these relationships that, you know, span over decades. But, you know, the other good thing is, you know, one of the experiences of voting, you know, in my community over in Crestone and Sawatch County is, you know, polling precinct, you know, polling day, going for election day, you get to see your neighbors, people stand in line. We talk, you know, we talk to people that we haven't maybe seen or that we might not otherwise spend a lot of time talking to. And, you know, that's part of the experience of voting, and you get a real sense of community because you're all working together, making decisions. And, you know, what kind of happens when you start doing mail ballot elections is you lose that sense of community. The same thing is kind of happening with these voting machines. When everything falls to the clerk and his or her staff, you know, it takes away from the fact, you know, I mean, there was just something about doing that review, you know, that Mary kind of talked about, is it didn't matter what party you belonged to. It didn't matter what side or what your feelings were about a particular candidate. We all decided and buckled down, and we sat there and we were going through these ballots. We were following a process and procedure, and it kind of developed an understanding and, you know, a sense of community in a way where you could really garner an understanding of why maybe this person has a different opinion than you do about this particular issue or this particular person or this particular process. And, you know, there's some real value in being able to build community around those issues. And, you know, for living in a small rural community, I mean, sometimes that's the thing that divides communities, is you have something controversial. And, you know, you're fortunate if it actually gets to the point of an election and it just doesn't end up being tried in the, you know, newspaper or tried in the rumor mill. And, you know, then you can have a real discussion, kind of a meaningful discussion. And but part of it is people kind of have to understand, you know, this is why we have statutes. This is why we have rules, because it helps you identify a process in which you can work through that. And it creates kind of like a safe environment to express an opinion that's maybe a little bit different, or, you know, to have a different approach to solving a problem than what's historically been the case. And it gives you an opportunity to work in kind of a side-by-side relationship, you know, with somebody that you might not otherwise spend any time talking to, because you have this preconceived notion that they'd never agree with you.
Well, one of the things that last week we covered your special district election down in your area, and that in its own right has a lot of things to be aware of and learn about, because special districts seem to be a popular thing that takes place around the country, and they're all over the place. And I don't think a lot of people realize all the aspects of them and how important it is to understand the powers and the abilities of these districts. I'm not an expert on this. I'm in this learning about each and every new thing along the way, from elections to special districts to you name it. I'm poking my nose in there. But if we don't start asking the questions, I'll tell you, somebody else is going to make those decisions for us. And the way it looks like it's going in this country right now, it's time the citizens start looking in all directions and start asking questions, even not just Wall Street.
Well, I mean,
one example of that in Sawatch was in the November election. They had a ambulance district that was just covered a portion of the county that was asking for an increase in the property tax rate, and it ended up claiming to be passed by one vote. But yet we learned that there was considerable amount of problems with all sorts of things, ballot counts, who was eligible to vote, and that special district was able to increase taxes on the residents there and the property owners there, probably without authority. And the reason it fell apart is because we did not have the opportunity to have the citizen oversight. And we know that people voted who were not supposed to vote in that election, and the taxes were increased. Now we've got much better controls. We have much better knowledge. And going back to what Lisa was talking about, that citizens review that we did, it took so much mystery out of the process. Now I have to believe that citizens of the watch are going to be much more comfortable in asking questions about their election. They're going to be much more careful. When they see funny things happening, they're going to ask, because it's no longer such a mystery. Or at least that's my hope.
Lisa?
Well, I think that's true. And I think, you know, that's part of it. A lot of people say, well, I don't have any special experience, or I don't have any special knowledge. But, you know, I think part of the, you know, beauty of the thing is that there are things that anybody can do to be part of an election. And a lot of it is just plain old common sense. And, you know, people have a vested interest in these, especially like what you were talking about with special districts or people that have taxing authority. But, you know, I think the larger thing is that it helps build in transparency and accountability, and people are starting to see the importance of being able to do that. You know, we many times, you know, I think the most shocking thing to people was the fact that the state would not intervene. We so clearly documented that there were things wrong. There were violations of the statutes. There were laws being broken, and the state just did not intervene. And people just assumed that they would, you know, but it's, you know, these entities at the state level apparently do not take their regulatory authority very seriously.
Well, one of the things is that people need to understand that all these things are written in statute. And one of the things I ran across, Marilyn, I was wondering maybe you can answer this, or maybe one of the other ladies here can, but in the past, when I went to go do some reading of the statutes, I ran across something that was kind of peculiar to me at the time, and I needed to go back, and I haven't done so, but to go back and see where that went. As I ran into this terminology, statute was being harmonized. And I couldn't find out what harmonized meant or to what. Has anybody read that?
I think it generally means that if there are inconsistencies between statutes, that the inconsistencies are being will be resolved through harmonization. I think that's generally what it means. And boy, do we have a lot of inconsistencies in our municipal code, our election code for municipalities, as well as the county code, and it truly needs an overhaul.
Let me mention real quick, and I want to give them credit for this. Center was in a really bad fix for a long time because they had certain people in their government system over there that just did not really, you know, they didn't go for grants, they didn't update their policy manuals, they didn't have an employee manual, they had not codified their ordinances. It's really, really something, how bad a shape they were in. And when, this new interim town manager came in last year, he set about to remedy a lot of this. And when he did that, he just went down the line and said, we've got to do this and this and this and this. They have made some tremendous progress in remedying a lot of the things that were wrong over there, as far as inconsistencies and outdated ordinances updating the things that need to be updated. I mean, I really have to give them a hand. And their new town manager, Forrest Neuerberg, he's doing the same thing. And he's following along where the interim manager left off and continuing these processes so the town can actually function in, you know, a meaningful fashion and go about their business and get things done. And, you know,
and
I
it
wish
all started that, with a good election.
Yes, it started with a good election. And that was the election of 2010. They brought in, because they had such terrible problems in 2008, they brought in outside people from Alamosa to do their election. and everybody was just delighted. They were treated kindly. They were, things were explained to them. They didn't feel pressured. They didn't feel, you know, they didn't feel like they were oppressed, because before it had been such a tense atmosphere, a lot of people were really scared to even come in and vote. So it was a wonderful thing, and they got some good town board members in there, and they have really done a lot to try and improve their little town, and I think it's a great thing. I think it can be done anywhere.
Absolutely. So, Melody, may I speak for a moment about what is happening here in Aspen, where there is a government trying to go the other direction? It's something Mary can speak to as well, because Mary's been very involved in trying to help us, although she lives in Boulder, but she's been hugely involved in trying to help.
Okay, go
ahead. You
know,
we just got this Court of Appeals ruling on September 29th that it had impact across the state that make, you know, election verifiability possible. The law had made it possible. It's just the courts were standing in the way of the law. Now, the city of Aspen, in that I had sued the city of Aspen on election transparency, city of Aspen has until November the 14th to appeal the ruling. They would take it to the state Supreme Court. Our city council has decided that they want to appeal to the state Supreme Court. And if they win, what would happen is that all of this new sunshine that we have now across the state would blacken. The curtains would come down, not just in Aspen, but across the state. Now, we don't think they have a good chance of winning, but, you know, the city of Aspen is probably, has deeper pockets than any city in this state. I mean, they have an almost unlimited budget. You throw enough lawyers, enough money at a case, and you can make it go on an awfully long time. And, you know, you've got risk. But it's a real shame that the city of Aspen is choosing to fight transparency and appeal this very positive ruling to the state Supreme Court. And because it will have impact on Swatch County, Chaffee County, Lake County, every county in the state, it's something that we need to be watching. Mary may have a couple of comments on that, as she's gotten very involved with even our local politicians saying, please no.
Mary?
Well, I can say one real benefit that we're seeing in Boulder as a result of the September 29th ruling of the appellate court, and that is we are now able to use the Colorado Open Records Act to request ballots and look at how they are interpreted by our computer-based scanning system. Remember I mentioned those numbers that are on each one of our ballots. Well, that number shows up in the database that the computer creates, and it makes the database, the numbers that are in the database, if you think of a spreadsheet, it's like one line equals one ballot's votes. And we want to know, if we look at the ballot, do we interpret the voter's intent the same way the computer did? And we've been trying to get this information since, oh, let's see, I think we got these voting machines in 2002. Now we're going to be able to do that. So it's a huge breakthrough to check that our ballots are being counted correctly. Now, we don't want those numbers to relate back to the voter. That we want to fix. But we need to be able to have the ballots and the numbers. We've been able to get the numbers, but not the ballots up till now. And so that ruling was a huge breakthrough. And if it goes away because of Aspen's appeal to the Supreme Court, it would really be a detriment to transparency going forward.
Is there anybody
and
waiting?
Mary, what is your sense of why, I mean, I'm too close to it. What's your sense of why a government would even want to appeal this?
Well, it's hard to know. I think I'm still trying to understand that. I've been in some back and forth conversation with one of the city councilmen, and I hope to continue that and try to really find out what the mind of the city council and the mayor is, and see if there are any, you know, gaps in logic that I might address to help them change their minds or see this a different way. It's very perplexing to me.
Well, let me go ahead and say again, this is Lisa Syriax, Marilyn Marks, Mary Eberle, and Teresa Benz, and we're talking about Sawatch County voting issues. But when I wanted to bring up the fact that, okay, you're saying you're thinking that it's Aspen, I'm wondering if Aspen's just being used as a test case, and or that maybe that the resistance that you've gotten from the clerks has been has come together where they do know the funds may come from that have deep pockets. And is there another county or area that wants to stand in the wings in case this does get reversed, so that you can, you know, withstand that type of change backwards?
Well, I'm not certain I understood the question. Are you asking if there's a county that would fight on the side of transparency?
Yes.
As the case goes forward, if it does?
Yeah.
Boy, I don't know. Up until recently, we voting activists along the Front Range, and we should also mention Harvey Branscombe over in Eagle County. He's done a tremendous job for many years on improving things. But the clerk over in El Paso County, which is mainly Colorado Springs, was a help to us off and on, and in fact invited Al Colwitz, whose name's been mentioned on this program, and Harvey and Marilyn to come after the 2010 election. Is that right?
Yes.
And review some ballots. Maybe Marilyn can tell more about that. But bottom line is, he has been for transparency. Now, the downside is he was term limited, so he ran for and was elected to the position of county treasurer. So he lost that good ally. But we think probably the election department in the El Paso County Clerk's office is still very good, and that group would probably be sympathetic, though we don't know that for a fact at this point. Maybe I'm wrong. Marilyn, do you know?
I think that Liz Olson is still very much a positive force for transparency. I have a nominee for who's going to be on our side on this, and that is whoever wins the recall election in Sawatch County, recall election from Linda Myers. I know there are two candidates running, and I think that whichever, and there may be others planning to run, but whichever one of them wins, I have a feeling, given what Sawatch has been through, they're going to be a county on the side of transparency, particularly based on the two people I know over there who are considering running. So I think Sawatch is going to, funny enough, see, given, you know, it's a poor county, a rural county, they probably have not led the state in many sort of governance ideas. It's going to be funny. Sawatch is going to have become the leader in election transparency for the rest of the state to follow behind.
Hooray, Sawatch.
Good Lord, willing and the creek don't rise, yes.
But really, I'm serious. I'll bet your clerk is going to be one of the ones who's willing to break from the clerk's general hold on, hey, we all have to stay together and we have to resist transparency.
So you're making it sound like that's almost kind of like a clerk's union. So.
Well, I'm afraid that there is. And, you know, it'll take a while. It will take new thought coming in. It's going to take a lot more controversy. Scott Doyle in Larimer County has created a whole new controversy just after the Aspen decision came down. He began to declare that he could trace back to some of the very votes of his own legislators in his county. And this has now created a huge backlash back and forth of why our systems are working this way. It's going to take quite a while for this to settle down. I mean, this is, I don't want to put it on the level of something as important as desegregation of schools, but it's got just about that much change element to it. When the clerks were so in charge, and now it's time for the citizens to be in charge again, it's going to be a struggle for a while.
And Marilyn, let me ask you this. What do you think the impact of an election commission would have on the clerks association? I mean, is that anything that could be considered as kind of a counterbalance for the clerks association?
Are you talking about on a statewide basis or on a county basis?
Statewide, would, both,
yes.
And county.
Something like an election commission, and I don't really have a proposal on how it ought to be structured. It ought to be studied. Many states are doing it different ways, but in fact, they do have an independent oversight enforcement function, and it tends to work a little better than our Wild West concept of every county's on their own. But you ask a question, and Melody, your listeners around the counties ought to think about this. This is going to, it's not the easiest thing to have done, and I know the Watch will be looking at it. The state statutes allow for a county election commission. Those election commissions are independent. They have a tremendous amount of power, except nobody uses them. Most counties don't even have them. Pitkin County happened, this is where I live in Aspen, Pitkin County. We have an election commission. They haven't met in years. I filed a big complaint with them this afternoon. I have reason to believe, based on some feedback I got from some of them, that my complaint is going to get resolved very quickly. And it's going to be a major change. It's something I've complained about for 11 months. And it has to do with watcher rules. I sent a complaint this afternoon, and because we have independent citizens on it, it appears to me that it will create the pressure to change that. There is, again, we're talking about citizen control of elections, not unlike the canvas board that Lisa sat on, but they didn't have the structure. They didn't have the way to exercise their power. But we're learning how to do that.
Okay, can you explain a little bit more about these commissions? Because, it's got to be somewhat bipartisan, right?
Yes, it is. And there are not many counties that have it, but every county could have it. And people need to go to their county commissioners and say, hey, we want an independent election commission. And the way we want it appointed is, I don't know, one Libertarian, you know, two Democrats, two Republicans that come from the various parties. I just made that up. But having it independently appointed, not appointed by those elected officials, but instead coming much more from the grassroots, giving them equal and coextensive powers with the clerk, oh, my goodness, it makes a huge amount of difference in citizens having an ability to move the needle when things go wrong.
Okay.
Actually, the same thing has happened in the city of Aspen as well. We have an election commission right now who's dealing with some issues, and they are creating a real buffer so that the clerk doesn't get to control everything.
Okay, so Lisa, I
encourage you all to really try to pull that, make that change as you all turn over your government there.
Okay, now this.
Well, and there's a lot of things that need to be changed along that line. Go ahead, Melody. I'm sorry.
All right, so this can be a counterbalance to the just certain people being able to wield the majority power. And how would that work with special districts too? Would that apply to them too?
Yes. I think it could. Yeah, particularly when they were running, when there was in a coordinated election. Absolutely. Okay. And generally they do, the special districts do coordinate their elections with the county. So, yes, if there were problems with a special district election, yeah, then a county election commission could have a lot of help. And it, the fact that these are citizen appointees, they tend to be responsive to the citizens. They're not entrenched in the government.
Okay, so that is, this would give a voice from the public and maybe circumvent problems that could be foreseen working with the election officials. Is that what you're saying they can do?
Well, actually, they absolutely can. And then when the election officials are being obstinate, recalcitrant, not very transparent, if the election commission indeed has all the powers and duties of the clerk, that's the way our statute's written there here in Colorado. It's just that most counties have never put one in because, of course, but neither the clerk nor the elected officials want an election commission. And most county residents don't know that they can push for one and tell their elected officials we want one. So, yes, indeed, when the clerk, as in the case of Sawatch, was abusing her power, there was no one who could control her. She was doing anything she wanted to do. Imagine if there had been an election commission who had equal and coextensive duties and powers who could just say, no, you cannot do it. We're in charge.
Okay, now how do you
that election would not have gone off the rails.
Now, is this an appointed commission? How would this commission come about?
In our case, and we are a home rule charter city, home rule charter county, it's been in our home rule charter since the early 70s. But any county can ask their county commissioners to put one in, and then it will be up to the county as to how they appoint them. But generally it's best if they're not appointed by the elected officials, but instead by the parties.
I can see problems with that if it's just done by the parties. I mean, because we see how parties have controlled so many other elections, where particularly when there's so many independents and people outside of the parties.
Agreed. There would have to be, in each county should figure it out for themselves as to how to make sure they get representation beyond the two parties. I very much encourage that. I guess I was trying to make the distinction that the appointments should not come from the elected officials themselves.
Okay.
The appointment should come from some other, from the citizens. And I was going to ask Lisa, I know that they talked about it a little bit over in Sawatch. I don't know if you've had further discussions, Lisa, on an election commission?
No. Well, I think people have been so focused on trying to recall the county clerk because that's really the essential first step. But, you know, that would be a problem in Sawatch County, you know, if we relied on the parties, because over 60% of the voters in Sawatch County are unaffiliated. And, you know, that's been part of the problem because, you know, typically election judges come from the parties. You know, people who are independents are not organized. They're independent.
Right. Well, a friend and I were talking about how one might do this. Same thing here. Well, you know, we have a big unaffiliated group, and we talked about how one might do this. Let's say that you've got a 7-person board, election commission. Maybe you have 2 Democrats, 2 Republicans, and the other 3 have to come from minor parties and unaffiliated, and it will actually be the Republicans and Democrats who have to agree on the other 3. They have to be by mutual agreement. It's not perfect, but it at least forces some representation from people other than the minor parties. You know, it's county by county could do it differently, but you all are right in saying it shouldn't be controlled by the 2 parties, and it certainly shouldn't be controlled by the elected officials. But we do need checks and balances, and this is the kind of citizen-led checks and balances that we need.
Anybody else?
Well, I think, you know, it, it's kind of a natural extension when you start looking at the election statutes, you know, just by themselves. And I realize, you know, over time they've been modified, which is why you have the inconsistencies. But, you know, there is an intent there, you know, but it is centered around a two-party system, you know, which is a whole nother topic maybe for another evening. But, you know, the idea that, you know, the party should be picking the judges. You know, I was looking at the rules for watchers today, and there's actually a section that says in there for nonpartisan elections, nonpartisan coordinated election like the one coming up on November 1st in Sawatch County, it's the watchers who should have the control over how the counting is done, how the ballots are opened. But, yes, you know, nobody honors that because of this problem. Well, it's a machine. It's complicated. It's a computer. We don't know how to run it. We don't know how to program it. We don't know how to do these things. But if you would go back to a system where you were doing the hand counting, you know, or that you were actually, you know, splitting it out, people here in Sawatch, you know, talk about, well, whatever happened to the days, you know, when we used to count them at the polling places. So you had four judges, you know, in Crestone, and they would sit down and count the ballots, and they would deliver the totals and the ballots to the clerk, who would then compile the totals from all the different precincts. Well, people like that because you have the people in the community counting the votes. It's a distributed counting system, so no one person is, you know, in a position to manipulate the outcome, because you may, in your precinct, you know, get all the votes for this candidate that everybody liked, but you've got eight or nine other precincts, and you have no idea how it's turning out for them.
Well, so,
you know, but again, it's about citizen control, and I really think that's kind of the message, whether you do it through election commissions or we get into a position where we empower, because that was, you know, I think the frustration for people in Sawatch County, regardless of what party, was, you know, the clerk kept throwing obstacles. We weren't being able to access the information that we needed, and we had no support from the Secretary of State, who basically said, well, we're here to support the clerks.
So would the commission have been able to come in, and in an instance where you had a contrary clerk, would they have been able to counterbalance that, Marilyn?
Yes. Yes, and in fact, we are watching it happen even this evening in Aspen, because we have some issues around open records requests that the clerk has refused to honor. The election commission is stepping in and saying, no, we think these should be honored. So, yes, and I think that the clerk then begins to pay attention when there are a group of citizens saying, no, we are going to have transparency. I think it would have made a big difference in if it had been established for a long time in the Sawatch case, quite frankly. But Lisa mentioned something that I think that we should tell your listeners, Melody, and that is that watchers have a very important function. You can see a lot of what's going on, and anybody can be a watcher. You can volunteer to be a watcher for any of the candidates, any of the issue committees. You can be there for a few hours. You can be at the polls. You can be watching the machines as they process the ballots. It's a great learning experience. It's a great help for a candidate. They feel so much better when they have someone there looking for, you know, for their interest. And most of them would love to have your listeners volunteer to be a watcher for a few hours, particularly in a mail ballot election. So it takes no special skill. You do have to be authorized by the candidate, but if you can't find the right slot, you can literally create your own issue committee or any of the referendum that might be on the ballot and become a watcher. So it's another way to exercise citizen oversight that, quite frankly, had just sort of gone dormant over the last few years.
Well, if
so
you
Lisa,
have,
I'm hoping that you all will have. Oh, and Teresa's going to be a watcher, media observer, I think, probably all over this current election, right, Lisa? I mean, Teresa.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I intend to be.
Okay. Now, when you find discrepancies, do you have any ability to do anything with it? If you're
good
a watcher.
Good question. Mary is a good person to talk to about this, and we're really working to make that change. Mary's been a watcher in all sorts of situations.
Well, right now we are fighting that 6-foot rule, and Marilyn might want to talk about that. But in general, watchers have the statutory ability to point out when problems are noticed and ask that they be remedied right on the site. I almost wonder if one of the things that happened in the 2010 Sawatch general election, where ballots were apparently loaded through the machine twice, if there had been watchers able, again, in November last year, we had the 6-foot rule where watchers couldn't be very close to the action. But if that went away and watchers had been able to be more effective, maybe that problem would not have occurred, and at least that one thing wouldn't have caused such a monkey wrench in the whole operation.
Why would they have a 6-foot rule anyways?
Oh, it is a completely made-up anti-transparency rule over the last few years, particularly last year, that the clerks had imposed in order to keep citizen oversight at a distance. We are tearing down that rule pretty darn fast. It is actually, we shouldn't call it a rule because it's actually not a rule. It was a
policy
advisory letter. It's a policy at best. And what they did, Melody, is they took a 6-foot barrier that should, in fact, be around a voter. Yet when the voter is in the polling place, casting his or writing out his ballot, marking his ballot, casting his vote, of course, you definitely want to give the voter plenty of space. You never want to have any chance to observe how he is marking his ballot. They took that 6-foot barrier of what is called in the statute the voting area, and they said, oh, okay. No, it just doesn't just apply to the voter. It applies to any place there's a judge, a ballot, a voting machine, a ballot box. And they pretty much moved watchers to the point that they couldn't see anything. We're breaking down that rule. And in fact, I think Mary can speak to having gone to some counties where they were hand counting, where they of course loved having watchers right there. In the citizens review, even though Mary and I were not citizens review in Sawatch, even though Mary and I were not judges, we were there as watchers essentially, and we were right there at every table, could see every ballot. And that's the way it was intended to be. So what has happened, Melody, long story short, the clerks took that 6-foot barrier that was appropriate and expanded it so that no one could be looking over their shoulders.
Okay, one of the things, they usually publish the ballot issues or the voting issues and what you're voting on, but I would think that it would be just as important to put out with these sort of this kind of information the statutes so that people can reference them so that they understand what's going on at these elections so that they can ask intelligent questions and not feel they are being overridden by somebody that can just say yay or nay when they have, when they have those kind of statutes in front of them, you can sit there and stand your ground.
No, Melody, the statutes are so complicated and they would be, you're talking about hundreds of pages.
No.
And I think for the average citizens, it would just be overwhelming.
When I went into the election statutes, there weren't hundreds of pages.
And there are now.
Really?
Yeah, I'll pull mine up to see how many pages it is now.
Wow.
But then you've got the regulations, 452 pages, the most current version.
Oh my goodness, I'm gonna have to go. I do have to go look at them again because I went.
And that does not include the rules. And there are 50 rules that have multiple pages. But there really ought to be, let's call it hotlines. mm-hmm. where when a voter has a specific question, we can call and say, you know, I just really don't know this. Tell mm-hmm. me.
Okay.
But I think
that's a great idea.
Here, Melody,
what'd you say?
I was just saying, I think the hotline idea is a great idea.
Okay. Yeah.
I do know the League of Women Voters voting guide is going to be revised before the 2012 election, and one of the voting activists on this side of the mountain is going to be helping write some additional information just on election processes, and I think putting in information about watchers, that should be a high priority.
Well, it's absolutely absurd to have that kind of statutes and pages involved in something like that, because I can't imagine any single person being able to follow that many and not have a lot of it just doesn't make sense to me. But
and it's very, very complex. So you're right. It's part of that. We do need to simplify our elections.
Right.
You know, I think what we're talking about here, Melody, is a lot of progress that we are making, and as a state and as a grassroots community, in retaking our elections. They
right.
used to be our elections. Somehow they got away from us and became the clerks in the government's elections. But we're seeing changes in watcher policies, in transparency policies, in policies of getting citizens much more involved in oversight, and that can be nothing but good. And I think there's as many terrible stories as there are, and we got lots more of them than we have good stories. We have a lot more good stories than we did than the first time that we all got on the phone with you.
And again, I want to commend you guys for all the fine work that you have done and sticking with this process, and that I hope that everyone continues to do so, because I think it isn't just Sawatch that will benefit from this effort. I think the whole state, and hopefully those that are watching it on a national level. And do you think is there many? Do you think that are watching it on a national level?
Oh yeah, Bev has been following this. As I mentioned, she has a family illness right now, but Bev has been watching this, Black Box Voting. This has been making news. A lot of Teresa's articles have been making news, as well as bigger post articles on voting news. It has been watched in a lot of places. And I am sure that someday that there is going to be a documentary made of Sawatch County and how they changed election transparency for one of the most contentious states in the United States, the most purple state, the one that everybody's going to be watching next year. And I'm convinced that there's going to be a success story that comes out of Sawatch County.
Well, we know who to do a tribute a lot of it to if that happens. So
everybody knows how to say Sawatch.
Yes, exactly. A reporter asked me that yesterday on the phone. What is the why is Sawatch spelled two different ways? He wanted to know the whole history. I had to just completely say, you're going to have to call them. I don't know.
Well, because there are the Sawatch Mountains, and those are spelled differently.
Right.
Okay, well, I want to say thank you, ladies, and keep up the good work, and then just keep letting us know how this progresses. And I will say good night, and we'll do this again, I'm sure.
Okay, thanks, Melody.
Thank you again. Uh-huh. Thank you, Melody.
Good night.
Good night.